Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It seems a rift is emerging in government over EU plans to rewild one-fifth of Irish land. The Environment Minister Eamon Ryan is strongly in favour of the EU's proposed Nature Restoration Law, which aims to rewet and rewild land to reduce carbon emissions. But now some of the minister's coalition party colleagues in Europe are pushing back against it. And I'm joined on the line by Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP, and here in the studio, Green Party MEP Ciarán Cuff. And you're both welcome. Thank you for being with us this morning. Just to explain firstly, Ciarán, to us, what does rewilding and rewetting actually mean for us in Ireland?
Well, I think in Ireland it will consist of rewetting a lot of the cutaway bogs that are under control of Bord na Mona in the Midlands of Ireland. In doing so, that will reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions coming from those bogs. It will allow nature to reclaim part of them. It'll allow a lot of biodiversity to occur. So I think this is a really positive step.
And that means that a lot of the drains that are currently used on those bogs will be dammed, they'll be
sealed up, allowing water to flow back into these bogs that were originally wetted and that originally hosted a huge amount of biodiversity from heather to rushes to willows and trees. And really looking at the bigger picture, in Europe we've seen a huge loss of biodiversity. And we know in Ireland that we see less bees and butterflies than before. And pollinators are crucial to agriculture replicating itself. So if we stop a nature restoration law, it means in effect that we are stopping the natural processes that have occurred on our lands for generations.
So that's rewetting. Rewilding. Now, are you going to be asking farmers to give up land so it can be rewilded?
Well, I think initially it will come down to lands that are under state control. But it does require looking again at the lands that we have. And there are still voices saying that we should clear out all our rivers, that we should completely scrape away vegetation from the banks of these rivers. There is still a view that a well-kept farm has hedges that are rectangular, that are cut within an inch of the bushes and shrubs that grow there. So it does require a change of attitude to realise that actually a larger hedgerow or a stream that has a natural flow in it with all kinds of species growing along the river's edge is a positive. And this translates into other areas as well, because we know that our rivers and streams are more polluted. The amount of pristine rivers has plummeted over the last 20 or 30 years. So really this is about trying to restore nature. And in doing so, we want to start with the lands that are under state control, but we also want to offer farmers the option of rewetting or rewilding where feasible.
Let's hear from Billy here now, because Billy, you initially supported this plan. Has your position changed?
Well, I did raise concerns when it was first published some time ago under the Green Deal. I spoke about the biodiversity challenges facing us, but at the same time, I also called for impact assessments to be done on these particular proposals, and that was some time ago when they were initially published by the Commission. So what has happened is the Commission publishes proposals. It's now been sent to the Parliament and the Council, but the Parliament has even gone further than the Commission's proposals. And we simply don't have any idea as to what impact it will have on agricultural practices, on farming, on rural communities. We also have the impact that it could have on urban areas. For example, it's quite clear and specific that there can be no loss of green space in urban areas by 2030. So in other words, even the development of towns and cities could be challenged. And we're in the middle of a housing crisis. So what I have said very clearly, I'm just repeating it again to the Parliament, that we can't go ahead with fundamental policy shifts without knowing at least the basic outcomes of those policies. And Ciarán is speaking about, you know, the lands in Bord na Mona and those in state ownership. It goes away beyond that. It goes, like, for us to comply with what's proposed either in the Commission's proposals or in the Parliament's proposals, will mean fundamental change to farming practices in many areas. Bear in mind, a huge amount of our land is peat-based soils, and they're talking about 46% of all peat-based soils being re-wetted, rewilded or restored by 2050. That is 27 years away. So if you have a young farmer setting out in rural Ireland, you know, they have to plan ahead. They have to purchase land. They have to repay it. That's a 30-year project. Mm-hmm. And we're now saying that they will not know what their land status will be in the years ahead. So we do need to at least put the basics out there in front of people, do a quality impact assessment, so we know the impact it will have.
Okay, has that not been done, Ciarán, an impact assessment?
There is. I mean, any European legislation has a full impact assessment to go with it. I mean, Billy is suggesting...
No, Ciarán, it doesn't. There's no full impact assessment done on this proposal. There's impact assessments done on the impact of biodiversity by NOS, but there's no impact on the outcomes of land and what will it will entail in the years ahead.
But you are also suggesting that the Parliament is going much further than the Commission. All we have at the moment is the draft of the Commission's proposal and the amendments that have been tabled. It is still all to play for in terms of what the Parliament will decide on the proposal. And simply looking at the amendments and saying that the most extreme of these will pass, I think is an inappropriate way of looking at the way in which we legislate at a European level. I think the fact remains that the nature restoration law is an integral part of the European Green Deal, which is in effect a jigsaw with about 20 separate pieces of legislation. If we take away parts of the jigsaw, I think the whole idea of the European Green Deal is compromised. And I think we all have to do something. We have to change the way we travel, the way we create energy and use it, the way we farm, what we consume. And I think every sector has to play its part. And I think as regards the Nature Restoration Law, the lead will start with state agencies, with Bord na Mona, with Caolte, with the Office of Public Works. And this means a move away from
It goes way beyond that. Yeah, but I mean, in fairness, Ciarán, you have to accept the proposals even by the Commission, but when you look at the Parliament, and my obligation is to ensure that the legislative process is robust and is interrogated. And at the moment, I am looking at the amendments put forward by the Environment Committee Rapporteur, and I simply believe that they are way above and beyond what rural Ireland can sustain.
And Billy, did you put forward any amendments yourself? Because this has been published now almost a year, hasn't it?
There's a shadow rapporteur has published the report that will go before the Environment Committee. It will be debated and voted in the Environment Committee. I'm not on that committee per se to put down amendments, but I am a substitute, and I have an obligation to at least voice the concerns of the many people out there, not just farmers. These are rural communities. These
but
are
if you're
people.
A substitute, you can put in amendments, can't you?
No, I can only vote on it.
I'm just wondering if you feel so strongly about it, why you wouldn't have pushed for an amendment or put one in yourself.
All these issues are going through the proposals as we speak. I've raised this in my group. We will obviously have a debate within our group and we will come to a position on it. But I'm not...
But
at this stage, has your group, Billy, produced amendments? Has Renew Europe produced amendments that go as far as you are suggesting?
Well, we're having that debate. We actually had that full debate last week, Ciarán, in our committee or in our own political grouping, yeah. And it will go from there. But all I'm saying is, as it stands with the proposals that are put forward and the amendments that have been tabled by the rapporteur in her report, simply shows that we are going way above beyond what the Commission's proposals were. And bear in mind, even the Department of Agriculture in Ireland and the National Parks and Wildlife Service had already expressed some challenges and concerns around the Commission's proposals.
I think we need to do it right, Billy, but we just had a Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity loss, and they specifically called for Ireland to take a strong leadership role on tackling biodiversity loss.
Yes,
and we only have to look at our rivers, our lakes, and our countryside to see that in many areas there has been a huge loss of biodiversity. We're seeing species being lost, we're seeing species like the corncrake being endangered, and we need to both work with farmers and work with those who are advocating an ambitious approach.
You're missing a very important part of this. First and foremost, we don't know any of the potential outcomes of what's being proposed. We simply don't know from an Irish perspective how much land will be rewetted, how much will be rewilded, the impact it will have on farms, on individual farms, on individual livelihoods. And there has been a lot done in recent
Billy,
years in terms of habitat
improvement. It's unusual to suggest that a law be rejected before it has even been debated in the Parliament. I think this is a very extreme approach. And as you know, with any piece of European legislation, it does come down to each member state to put in place the numbers and the specifics of what will be done.
Yeah, but Ciarán, it doesn't allow for that in this proposal because the timeframes are so extreme that we have to have all these issues in place by 2030 initially and then fully implemented by 2050.
And Billy, how does it compare? How do these targets under this restoration law compare with your own government's climate action plan?
Well, I mean, the Climate Action Plan is about reducing carbon emissions, about, reducing methane emissions.
But the rewetting targets in this plan, in the EU plan, they're weaker than the ones that your government have come up with in the Climate Action Plan. Is that not correct?
Well, the Climate Action Plan's proposals is legislation passed by the Oireachtas. These proposals would be passed by the European Parliament. I sit in the European Parliament. So my purpose here is to make sure that we don't implement and put in place policies that will have a detrimental impact on top of already what's been done.
So then you don't agree with your own government's climate action plan?
Well, I've expressed the views already on these issues, Claire. I mean, I'm not in the Dáil. I'm in the European Parliament. It's a different assembly. It makes different decisions and they have to be implemented by Irish government and by the Oireachtas. But if you look at the proposals here on this particular issue...
Let's look at how people at home are hearing this. We've got, and Ciarán, this is an issue for you as well. It's awkward. We've got two people from parties serving together in a coalition government rowing over the airways about something that is already government policy.
Yeah, I think it is awkward, but the overwhelming majority of the European Parliament has voted on many times in favour of the European Green Deal, has voted in many times in favour of ambitious. And actually, the first lines of the Nature Restoration Law say that despite EU and other efforts, biodiversity loss and the degradation of ecosystems continue at an alarming rate, harming people, the economy and the climate. It's rare that you find the word alarming written into legislation. But it is alarming to see the rate of biodiversity loss. And I think we have to be ambitious. And that's what the Citizens' Assembly suggested the action that we take. So I think we've got to move fast. We've got to move towards a 2050 target and put in place our plan for achieving that by 2030. That will, of course, involve haggling over the individual sectoral targets. It will involve member states arguing around the table. But I do think that this can be done. I do think it's achievable, and I think it will be a win for farmers, but it will protect our food growing into the future.
Okay, Billy, go ahead.
Yeah, you simply can't put in place legislation and then hope that it works when you're speaking about issues as fundamental as biodiversity and land ownership and farming practices and rural communities. And the idea that we will set in stone and then start negotiating after the fact leads to very bad policy. And this is a fundamental issue. And the point being made by the European Parliament is going way above and beyond. And Ciarán, are you happy with the Parliament's position? Do you think we should have gone further? Or is the Commission's proposal, are you comfortable with that? How far do you want to go in terms of meeting targets?
I agree with Commissioner Mairead McGuinness, who said that the Nature Restoration Law is a bedrock of Europe's biodiversity commitments. And she said that with the support of CAP, farmers are well placed to move to sustainable food systems. We spend one third of the European Union's budget on the Common Agriculture Policy. I think we have the flexibility to work within that, to meet the targets within the Nature Restoration Law, and to work with farmers to ensure that they have a decent income today, tomorrow, and moving towards 2030.
So, Ciarán, what do you say to those farmers that Billy mentioned at the start who might be starting out in their career and they're looking at a situation where in 27 years' time they don't know how much of their land is available to them for agriculture as they practice now? What do you say to those people?
Well, I think we've got to work within the limits set by nature. And scientists are telling us that our greenhouse gas emissions have skyrocketed, and every sector has to play its part. And I think unlimited expansion of agriculture is no longer an option. In the same way as unlimited air travel or unlimited use of energy is also not appropriate if we're to meet work within the limits of the planet.
Do they embark on a career and a future in farming now? That young person who's looking at the
I think everyone has to make an individual decision, whether it be training as an airline pilot, whether it be moving into intensive agriculture.
Kieran, if you train as an airline pilot, there's a good chance that you're going to be flying planes. I mean, if you're buying a farm or you're investing in a farm now, and policy from Europe that is undetermined at the moment is basically saying that your farm could be re-wetted by the time you're finished paying off that loan or after investing in facilities. So, I mean, we have to have certainty around these things. I mean, you can't have just glib throwaway commentary.
Well, it's not glib. I think it's working with the scientific constraints set at the annual COP discussions, set through the European climate law. And we have to work backwards from that. There will, of course, be horse trading between the different sectors. We've seen that already with the Irish climate legislation, where agriculture is doing less than we're asking construction and transport and other sectors to do. I think those discussions will continue in the years to come. But I do know that we have to work within limits. I do know that there has been a significant loss of biodiversity within the European Union and within Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to start tackling this.
Ireland disputing that, see, Kieran, like, I'm not disputing there's a loss of biodiversity. Nobody is disputing there's a loss of biodiversity.
But you're telling us to drop a law before we've even debated it, which is most unusual, Billy.
Before we debate it, we are debating it. I'm actually debating it.
No, we actually haven't. We haven't come to a trialogue yet.
I can't give a blank check on behalf of the people I represent to the European Parliament to go ahead with proposals that are so onerous. It will have a fundamental impact.
But you said earlier you haven't even discussed it within your political grouping. So you haven't come to a conclusion. You haven't come to a conclusion within your own political grouping.
We've had discussions.
And have you come to a view that you should reject it?
Well, I've come to a view.
You've come to a view.
So
you believe the nature restoration law should be put aside. Look, we come from different angles on this, Billy. I think there is a crisis and we need to address it.
I just repeated one more time. I said clearly that we need to have a full impact assessment on the outcome of the nature restoration law as proposed by the Commission. That has not happened. You said it did happen. It hasn't happened. There has been an assessment of the impact on the biodiversity over the last number of years, but there's no assessment on the impact on people, on farms, on communities. And also, just to be very clear, we're also looking at it from an urban perspective. And many groups or political groups in my political party across Europe have expressed a huge concern about the ability of us to build sustainable communities, even within cities.
But Billy, are you suggesting that we build on green space, on parks or on playgrounds? I mean, where are you going with this in terms of safeguarding green space in urban areas? Because the overwhelming view is that we need more green space in our cities. We need to build homes. We need to build at a level of density that works.
It goes a lot further than parks. I'm not proposing that we should build on parks. It's talking about building on grassland, land that potentially has been zoned for housing that, you know, we would be building on in the Dublin City Development Plan and the Cork Development Plan, but we may not be able to do it because we would be in breach of the proposals as they are within the text
in front of us at the moment.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Kieran Cuff, Green Party MEP, and Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP. Thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.